For 1,000 days, Roman Reigns has been the WWE Universal Champion, the most dominant champion that this company has seen in nearly 40 years. The announcers here on this show today talked about him being less than a month away from breaking Pedro Morales' 1,027 days, ignoring the fact that Pedro and Bruno and Hogan all held the WWE title, not the Universal title. So he's really not breaking anything, but that's the narrative that they're going with. Roman's run has had a lot of really fun moments, including tonight. Had Sami Zayn not come along in the Bloodline storyline when he did, I don't know that they would have been able to sustain it for this long. But he did come along, and it gave us some of the best WWE television in years. Now, it's funny, on U.S. soil, Sami Zayn, he comes out, he's beloved by the crowd, and he's cheered. They go to Montreal for Elimination Chamber. Sami is beloved by the crowd, and he's cheered. And for the first time in almost a decade, Sami Zayn comes to Saudi Arabia, and he is beloved by the crowd, and he is cheered. So no matter where they are in the world, the moral of the story is that the fans really like Sami Zayn. They really want to cheer for this man. But Roman's run has benefited nobody more than his cousins, the Usos, and Jey Uso in particular. This story has elevated Jey Uso higher than anybody ever thought he would be. It elevated Sami Zayn to his first WrestleMania main event and the second WrestleMania main event for Kevin Owens. For others in the company, Drew McIntyre and others that we can name, this run has not benefited them nearly as much. Roman Reigns did not defend either of his championships tonight, but he still got the main event spot, challenging for the undisputed tag team titles with Solo Sikoa against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And what we ended up with on this show here when Night of Champions was over, a show that originally, if you remember, this was going to be King of the Ring. We were going to get King and Queen of the Ring. That was the original plan for this show. And then they decided, well, Roman is going to be hitting 1,000 days, so we should probably go with something like Night of Champions instead. And so what we got at the end of this show was a very important plot twist in the Bloodline storyline. What we ended up getting here at Night of Champions was the implosion of the Bloodline. Cody Rhodes was right. Remember what Cody Rhodes said on television in the lead up to WrestleMania when he told Roman Reigns that the Bloodline would fall apart. And that is what is finally happening. We see the light at the end of the tunnel. For those of you who have been waiting for this moment to come, for those of you who maybe have gotten tired of the Bloodline story, where is the end? There's no end in sight. The end is now in sight. Only on this show, it was not Jey Uso putting his hands on Roman Reigns. It was Jimmy Uso. And if you saw last night's episode of SmackDown, you could see the tension between Jimmy and Roman was building and building, and it looked like it was about to boil over. And they really went out of their way to tell us that the Usos are not going to be in Saudi Arabia. The Usos are not going to be at Night of Champions. Don't think the Usos are going to be there. Really, there could not have been any other finish to this match other than the Usos getting involved and either just straight up costing Roman the chance to become Roman four belts or trying to help Roman and it backfires on him, which is basically what happened here in this match. It played out exactly the way that I and probably all of you thought that it was going to play out. Predictable, yes, but as I always like to say, predictable does not mean bad. And this was an example of why I say that. Predictable does not mean bad. The storytelling with this main event tonight was masterful. We haven't had a Bloodline moment like this since the end of the Royal Rumble. Remember what they did at the end of that show after Roman and KO, with Sami Zayn taking a chair to the back of Roman Reigns, and what a big moment that was. This was not quite on that level. But this was the next big wrinkle in the story. And now Roman is going to be heading into SmackDown on Friday for his big championship celebration, 1,000 days. And it opens up a whole host of questions about where this is going to go and what they're going to do. And we'll talk about some of those ideas later on when we get to the main event. But Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are still the undisputed tag team champions, which was the right decision because it would have been foolish to put any more belts on Roman. He doesn't need any more belts. And as you saw with the story they told on this show, it benefits the story more for him to lose. Not get pinned. It was Solo who took the losing fall. But nonetheless, Roman Reigns loses on this show. That match was part of what WWE billed as a triple main event. One of the other triple main events on this show was Cody Rhodes going one-on-one with Brock Lesnar. And this was, of course, a rematch from Backlash where Cody barely beat Brock. I mean, by the skin of his teeth, I mean, if you could even really call it much of a win. Pinned Brock and then literally ran away. So this was match number two. This was a fight. Cody came into this with a broken arm, we were told. They allowed him to fight with a broken arm. And unfortunately, it did not work out as well for Cody on this show as it did at Backlash. And what we basically had confirmed with the outcome of that match here on this show is that they really are not doing Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam. There's been a lot of talk about doing Roman and Cody as the main event for WrestleMania next year. And I laugh at all these reports because do you honestly believe that WWE has the WrestleMania main event for next year in Philadelphia locked in? They don't. They may have a germ of an idea for where they want to go with it, but believe me, things can change, things will change between now and then. And I just hope for Cody's sake and for the sake of this story that Cody first told when he came back to WWE, they allow him the chance to finish that story. Because a lot can happen in a year. With injuries and storyline developments, a lot can happen in a year. Cody did not win on this show, and we are going to inevitably get a third match between him and Brock Lesnar, either Money in the Bank or probably more likely at SummerSlam, because I'm not aware of Brock Lesnar being officially added to the Money in the Bank card, but of course that could always change. Roman Reigns was not originally advertised for Money in the Bank, and now he is. And in the other third of the triple main event on this show, we were crowning a new world heavyweight champion because Roman has a stranglehold on those two belts. And Raw has not had a champion now in over a year. So they decided to make an entirely new belt for the runners-up on the roster. And the runners-up in this case were Seth Rollins representing Monday Night Raw and AJ Styles representing SmackDown, even though this is a Monday Night Raw championship. The two of them went out there and they had what you would expect them to have. It would be impossible, even though AJ is a lot older now, it would be impossible for Seth Rollins and AJ to go out there and have a bad match. They did not have a bad match. They went out there and they had an excellent match. And Seth Rollins is now the new World Heavyweight Champion. Seth Rollins is going to try to take this new title and make it something special and be a fighting champion and be on television every week. He's going to have to be. He's got his work cut out for him. As far as taking that championship and trying to make it something on the level of what Roman Reigns has. It's not going to happen. Roman has just far too much equity in this title run right now, which is, of course, the disadvantage that they find themselves in. How do you take this brand new championship that has no history behind it? And how do you turn it into something that people will look at and say, I look at that as being on the same level as what Roman Reigns has? It's damn near impossible. But if you were going to try with anybody, Seth Rollins would be the guy to try with. One thing I was very happy about when Seth Rollins won the consolation belt here on this show was the visual of Seth Rollins being handed the championship by Triple H. And would you look at what is behind Seth Rollins over his shoulder? There it is. And I know a lot of you, I mean, I've been getting messages all afternoon from people who were watching this show from the moment they went on the air until the moment that main event went off the air. From people saying, did you see it? Did you see it? Sending me photos and sending me screenshots. Yes, I saw it. I saw it many, many, many times on this show. Many times. This one might be my favorite shot. It looks like if you look at the two signs in the crowd behind Cody and Brock, it looks like it says that Dusty is proud of the Solemn Monster sounds. I just love that. I love those two signs being caught in the same shot like that. Of course, that sound-off sign, that sound-off for life sign, belongs to one Fawaz. You've heard me mention his name before. He is a big, big podcast fan, big sound-off fan, who lives over there in Saudi Arabia. He is at all of the big Saudi shows, and every single one of these shows, he's always representing the sound-off with some kind of sign trying to make them even bigger and even more noticeable. He's got great seats on all these shows, too, by the way. He's right opposite the hard camera. I'm very fortunate to have him as a fan. I heard from actually quite a few fans of the show in Saudi Arabia. We heard from one last night, if you were with me on the SmackDown stream, Fahad, who is dropping all kinds of love while he was on his way to the Jeddah Superdome. So I want to shout out Fawaz. I want to shout out Fahad and all the other people that I've heard from who traveled there or live there and are big enough fans of what I do to go to the show with some sort of signage or something to represent the podcast. I cannot tell you how much that means to me. And every time I took a look at that sign watching this show, it put a big smile on my face. So thank you to him for that. It was a very cool thing to see. This is your WWE Night of Champions 2023 review. I am the Sala Monster. Please hit that subscribe button if you are brand new to the channel. And hit that like button as well. We do a little feature at the end of some of these streams called Be the Booker. I have a random generator. We randomly book some matches. If we hit at least 450 thumbs up on this video, we will be the booker later on. It does help the video out a lot when you do that. So go ahead and hit that thumbs up. And super chats are open. There you see them popping up on your screen. There's disgusted Brandi Rhodes. I think that was her face at the end of the Cody match on this show. So you'll see them popping up on screen, and then I will be going through your messages a little bit later on in the afternoon. So let's get on with it here. Night of Champions kicked off with a battle to crown a brand new World Heavyweight Champion. This was the opening match of the show. It was Seth Rollins one-on-one with AJ Styles. I saw conflicting reports about why this match was going on first and opening the show, that Rollins is still filming stuff for the next Captain America movie, and he had to get on a flight and get back to the U.S. as quickly as possible. I don't know how accurate that is. I don't know where that's coming from. But seeing what they did at the end of the show with the Bloodline stuff, it's pretty obvious why they had to end with the Bloodline segment at the close of the show. I mean, you can't really do an angle like that, as big as that was, and not close out the show with. So I understand why they did that. They did the same thing again at the Royal Rumble this year. But even still, you know, on a show where Roman Reigns was not defending either of his titles, on a show called Night of Champions, the fact that he still ends up in the main event and this championship does not just reinforces the perception of it as being the
Gunthar.
Second place trophy.
Jerry Lawler loves Gunthar the Magnificent.
Oh my.
All hail Gunthar.
All hail our friend Gunthar making an early appearance here on the stream. That means only one thing. That means somebody dropped a 50 bomb on me. That was Zachariah. Zachariah Sitchin dropping a $50 super chat. When I hear the Gunthar voice, I know exactly what it is. Zachariah, thank you. You're getting us started the right way. I love it. Always good to get that early Gunthar. So, again, they have some work to do if they want to change the perception of this new championship. It's brand new, so it's going to take time. But if anybody can do it, it's Seth Rollins. He did it years ago with the Intercontinental title. I actually believe it was probably at a time when Brock Lesnar was the champion and wasn't appearing on television. Rollins had a run with the Intercontinental title where he made that feel like the top title in the company. So now here we are 5 years later, I think it's 5 years, and he's going to have to do the same thing. He's right back in the same position he was in before. Only now he has a belt that looks like something of value and doesn't look like a fucking toy. I noticed that this new championship, something I love about this new championship, is that it has snaps. So many of the new belts have Velcro and no snaps on it. This title actually has snaps, which is pretty cool. One of the things I hate about the new belts is that it's just Velcro and nothing else. So it doesn't look like a toy. It looks like something you would actually want to fight for. So they played cat and mouse early on. Styles backflipped off the ropes into an inverted DDT. That led to a near fall. Rollins battled back. He landed a frog splash for a near fall of his own. Styles set up for a Styles Clash. Rollins avoided it, went for a pedigree. AJ escaped. He hit him with a step-up enziguri. AJ tried for the Styles Clash from the middle rope, but Rollins reversed out of it. He took AJ over with a Rana. Then they went to the opposite side. Rollins hit an inverted superplex You know, he does the spot where he does the superplex, rolls through into the Falcon Arrow. So this was an inverted superplex. He rolled through into the Finn Balor 1916. And AJ kicked out at 2.5. Rollins tried for the Phoenix Splash. AJ rolled out of the way. Rollins landed on his feet. They wound up on the apron, and AJ Styles hit a brainbuster on the ring apron that looked brutal. Brutal landing. He rolled Seth inside. AJ set up for the forearm. Seth, though, cut him off, hit a suicide dive. And on the suicide dive, Rollins came up lame, and he came up favoring an injury. He's favoring his left knee as if he had maybe tweaked it or did something to it. So back in the ring, AJ targeted the knee, as any good veteran would do. Of course, AJ Styles, he's been doing this for a while. He targeted the knee, locked on the calf crusher. Seth tried to shift his weight, but AJ rolled through with him and kept the hold applied. Rollins fought out of it. Short time later, Styles hit a pedigree, and he went for the pin. Rollins got a shoulder up at 2.5. AJ came up with some little bit of blood on his forehead between his eyes. Nothing major, though. He went for the phenomenal forearm. Seth, though, caught him with a super kick on the way down. He ate the foot. He went for the stomp to AJ, but his knee buckled. As Seth came in, he just crumbled to the mat right down to his knees. Calf crusher attempt countered into a pedigree by Seth Rollins. And this time, the stomp connected, and Seth Rollins pins AJ Styles to become the new World Heavyweight Champion for Monday Night Raw. Triple H came down, he climbed into the ring with the big gold belt to present it to Seth. This was the expected outcome. I knew going into this match that my AJ Styles pick was far-fetched. I knew that it was probably not going to happen. I went with AJ anyway is my prediction, but part of it was that I was just hoping there was a better storyline explanation for why they included SmackDown talent in a tournament for a championship that is exclusive to Monday Night Raw. I was hoping there would be some kind of storyline reason for it where AJ would win, everybody would be shocked. Yeah, I floated the idea of swapping him and Cody and doing that whole thing. But in the end, what it was is they just wanted to put together a banger of a match in the finals, and that's exactly what we got from these two. Four-star match, probably the best AJ Styles match I've seen in a very long time. And now it's on to Seth Rollins' shoulders and the WWE writing team. As far as what they do with this new world championship. So long as Roman's on top, it's always going to be little brother. But at least Raw now has a champion. At least Raw has a champion that we know will actually be present. We no longer have an absentee champion on Monday nights. Because Raw has been without a champion for far too long. We had Becky Lynch one-on-one with Trish Stratus. This was Trish's first singles match since the Charlotte Flair match at SummerSlam back in 2019. Becky was wearing the full yellow bodysuit with the black trim that Uma Thurman was wearing in the movie Kill Bill. So she had the Kill Bill tribute going. Trish had a black bodysuit with pink trim, which I loved. Repping the pink and black, like any good Canadian. I love it. Notice that right away. These two had a good match. It had a few rough spots, nothing, no major botches or anything terrible. Because again, this is Trish's first singles match in many years. And even in tag form, you know, since she came back, it's not as if she's been involved in a lot of matches.
See a show like never before. The mission is the titles and we will win.
Oh,
but we're all going to rock WrestleMania 2.
Men on a mission. It's actually low-key one of my favorite super chats. We don't see that one very often. That was Lloyd Berry. Lloyd Berry dropping a $61 Men on a Mission super chat. That was WrestleMania 10. That was the Oscar wrap heading into their big tag team title match with the Quebecers, which they did not win. They did not win the titles. But Lloyd, thank you. I will get to your super chat a little bit later on. I think this match probably went a few minutes long. I would have shaved a few minutes off of it. Crowd was not overly enthusiastic for it, but I can't exactly sit here and tell you that the build was stellar. So it's really hard to blame the crowd for that. Becky hit a Bexploder suplex, then got a leg drop while Trish was draped over the middle rope. Got a two count out of that. Lynch hit the manhandle slam, but she was so close to the ropes that Trish easily got her foot on the bottom rope for the break. So then Trish rolled out to the floor, and she was trying to go underneath the ring. I don't know if she was trying to escape, or it looked like she was maybe looking for a weapon or something. So Becky followed her out to the floor, and she drags her, puts her back inside the ring. When she rolled Trish into the ring, she tripped up the referee. So in that brief few seconds where the referee was sort of, you know, distracted, all of a sudden, out from under the ring crawls Zoe Stark in her leather jacket, brand new to Monday Night Raw, called up from NXT in the draft. Zoe Stark comes out, and she grabs Becky, and she hits her Z360 finish. It's like her flipping GTS, knees her in the face, rolls Becky back inside, and Trish hits her Stratisfaction Bulldog and scores the pin. This went around 15 minutes or so. This pretty much clocked in about 15 minutes long. Becky was bleeding pretty badly from the nose when the match was over. And Trish and Zoe, they walked out together smiling. Bully the Clown making an appearance here on the stream, thanks to Silver Tower. Ah, the circus is in town. Always good to see Bully the Clown. Thank you, Silver Tower. I appreciate it. Silver Tower, man, you have been very busy. He's been a very busy man this way. What have you gifted? 90 channel memberships, I think, over the past two streams. Drop some donos. You're amazing. So it looked like she got her nose broken. It looked like Becky got her nose broken on the Z360 finish that Zoe gave her. I don't know that for sure, but she wasn't bleeding before that. And so it looked like Zoe connected a little too much on that move. There was a lot of blood there. So if her nose is not broken, it looked like it was. Would not be the first time that Becky got her nose broken, by the way. I really, you know, the match itself, like I said, it was good. I'm not going to go and say that it was really, you know, this great classic battle between two legends. It wasn't. What I like, though, what I really like is the pairing of Trish and Zoe Stark. That I like. Zoe, if you have been paying attention to Zoe's promo since she got called up, Zoe is all about finding someone worthy of her respect. Well, Trish Stratus fits the bill, right? Trish Stratus, multi-time women's champion, WWE Hall of Famer. So she found somebody in Trish that she can respect. And it's great because now, the hope anyway, would be that this will help elevate Zoe Stark. She's brand new to the main roster. There's a lot of people who don't know who this woman is. They don't know who she is. They don't know much about her. They don't watch NXT. They don't pay attention to it. She's only been on television for a few weeks. But she's really good. And very capable in the ring. Her character work, you know, her character needs to be fleshed out more, but her work in the ring is solid. So associating her with Trish, and if Trish is not going to be on television every single week, which I don't believe she will, it's even more of a smart move because Zoe can be her surrogate, I guess, in a way, especially on those weeks where Trish is not present. She will have representation on the show. There is somebody now on the show that Becky could go after and Becky could target when Trish is not there. So I think it's a very smart move, and hopefully it will help elevate her in the eyes of the fans. So I look at that as a win-win situation. And, you know, as far as the rematch, which clearly they're building to a rematch between Trish and Becky. That's why Trish won. SummerSlam was always the rumored date, and they did the match here instead. I would think they're going to save the singles match for SummerSlam. And at Money in the Bank in London, they could do a tag match. They can bring back Lita. And they could do Becky and Lita against Trish and Zoe. And they could have the baby faces go over. That then leads to a Trish-Becky rematch at SummerSlam. So I would not at all be surprised if they brought back Lita to do a tag match at Money in the Bank to kind of bridge the gap between now and SummerSlam. But I like that pairing a lot. Speaking of things that I liked a lot on the show, Gunther defending his Intercontinental Championship against Mustafa Ali. This was exactly what it needed to be. This match was it played out exactly the way that I thought it would be laid out. But these two were so good. Gunther is incredible. He really is. I mean, you've heard me sing his praises. I'm really glad that he's been pushed the way that he's been pushed. I always feared for his future on the main roster. Especially when Vince McMahon was still present every single week. And what they have done with him has been pitch perfect. You know, there's a lot of things that you can point to and complain about and crow about when it comes to WWE creative and WWE booking. Gunther's push is not one of them. He's had this incredible run with the Intercontinental title. He's just this perfect final boss type of star that you just look at him, his presence. So he's incredible. Ali is excellent in the ring. They've been trying a bunch of different character changes with him. Now he's the big positive guy. Nothing really seems to stick, but I don't know that anybody has ever really doubted his work in the ring. So he's excellent in between the ropes. He had no chance of winning. He had less than zero chance of walking out of the show as the Intercontinental Champion, and yet they got a couple of great near falls here that had the people believing. And when you have a match like this where the outcome is just not in doubt, and it's so predictable, there's how could there possibly be drama when you already know who's going to win? And then you find yourself at different points in the match thinking, oh, wait, maybe he'll get him right there, right? Or you see this crowd, and you hear the crowd, and you see the people standing up out of their seats on some of these near falls, and you know you've got them. Then you know you've already won. You know that you are doing your job. And I thought that these two did an excellent job. Gunther brutalized him early on with chops. He put him in a Boston Crab, transitioned into a crossface. Ali set up for some kind of springboard move. Gunther, though, blasted him. So Ali, I think, was on the apron. And it looked like he was going to do a springboard move into the ring. And Gunther blasted him with this kick that sent him down to the floor. Gunther went to ringside. He ran Ali into the ring post. He sold it like he got shot out of a cannon. Ali fired back in the ring with chops and punches. He managed to put Gunther down with a neck breaker. Ali went up top. Gunther, though, he stood up and he chopped him. He went to the middle rope and he was going for a double underhook suplex. He was going to suplex him off the top. And Ali blocked it and he flipped over Gunther and he got him in a powerbomb position. And this is where the crowd really started to come alive when Ali had him up on his shoulders in a powerbomb position. And he gave him a sit-out powerbomb. Ali went up top again. He hit a 450 splash. Picture perfect. Got a very close, very dramatic near fall out of it. Gunther came back with a lariat, turned him inside out. He covered him for a near fall. And now he's starting to show frustration because this guy keeps kicking out, right? He keeps showing signs of life. What does he have to do to put down this man? So Gunther starts screaming at Ali, "You don't belong." Sadly, he didn't scream, "Get a life, kid," like Brock Lesnar did the other night. He tried for a powerbomb. Ali flipped out of it. He put Gunther down with a tornado DDT. Ali went for another 450 splash. He rolled through when Gunther moved. Gunther then hits a shotgun dropkick, which will never be impressive to see him flying through the air, hit this dropkick. He knocks Ali backwards into the corner. And then he powerbombed Ali and stacked him for the pin. I like that he has not given up on the powerbomb and the stack as his finish. I'm not a fan of the Last Symphony. I think it's a weak-looking finish for him. And I'm sure he hasn't totally abandoned it, but I like that it's not just his only finish. I like that he can still, you know, bust out the powerbomb every now and then. So Gunther retains his title. Excellent match, even though the outcome was never in doubt. Ali, you know, he played the scrappy underdog perfectly, got some hope spots before he got snuffed out. And I will say this, you know, we have this brand new World Heavyweight Championship. Gunther is going to look great wearing that World Heavyweight title when he beats Seth Rollins for it. Can't tell you exactly when that's going to be. It may not be until WrestleMania next year because he still has a ways to go. I mean, he's been the Intercontinental Champion for so long now. They're probably going to have him just go and become the longest reigning champion of all time. He's got to go to November. No, I'm sorry, not November. September. September 8th, I believe. That is the date that he has to pass the Honky Tonk Man. Let us assume that he will not be dropping that IC title at least until September. At least until sometime in the fall. Right? Then you got to build him up to challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship. I could see him winning the Royal Rumble next year. He came close this year. He came out at number one. He was there all the way to the very end with Cody Rhodes. So I could see either one of them winning the Royal Rumble next year, either Cody or Gunther. But he is going to be the one, I believe, to take that championship from Seth Rollins. Because he's already at that level. he feels as if he's already outgrown the Intercontinental title. But what he has done for that title has been terrific. If you grew up a fan of that championship and you saw people like Mr. Perfect or Randy Savage or Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels or Chris Jericho or any number of people, Razor Ramon, right, that have been Intercontinental champion before at a time when that title felt pretty cool, right? It felt pretty special. It's been a very long time. You know, The Miz had a run a number of years ago. That might have been the last time that title really had any shine on it. Since Gunther won it, he has helped elevate that championship. Yeah, there's an expression that the title doesn't make the man makes the title. Well, the man in this case has made the title. And he has gotten that championship defended on some pay-per-views where it otherwise would not have been defended. So he has done his job. Unfortunately, when he loses that title, I guarantee you it's going to go right back to where it was before. I hate to say it, but it's what's going to happen. But he's outgrown this title already. I already look to the future, and I see big things for him with that world belt. We have Bianca Belair one-on-one with Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship. I had to do a double take there because they're both on SmackDown, but yet they're fighting for the Raw Women's Championship. They still have not resolved this issue. This was more of a pro-Asuka crowd than it was a pro-Bianca crowd. They were not as vociferously against Bianca as they were at Backlash. I don't even know if I should say that they were against Bianca. I guess they were, because they were booing her. They were just very, very much into Io Sky on that Puerto Rico show a few weeks ago. This was not that. They were not getting reactions at that level here in this match. But the boos for Bianca were noticeable. They definitely were noticeable, and they were noticeable at Backlash, and so Backlash was not just a one-off. Crowd, though, was pretty quiet for the first half of this. Asuka pulled Bianca by the braid to ringside. She tried to run her into the ring steps. Bianca stopped short. She threw Asuka into the steps instead. Both women prevented each other from getting back into the ring. They were just sort of tussling around on the outside while the referee was counting. And then they rolled back inside when they realized that I think the count was up to 8 or something. Honestly, this was a weird sequence here. It almost is as if they maybe forgot what they were supposed to do. I don't know if that's the case or not, but this was kind of weird. So they got back into the ring. Bianca hit Asuka in the corner until the referee stepped in to try to pull her away. Asuka then, with the referee getting in between them, he wasn't looking directly at Asuka. And so Asuka spit the mist over the referee at Bianca, but Bianca dodged it. She was able to avoid it. She backed away. So that was a fail. Asuka ended up catching Bianca in an armbar. Bianca powered her up, slammed her down to the mat. So now Asuka's up against the ropes. And again, Bianca's not looking. The referee is not looking. Asuka's hanging on the middle rope, and she's got her hand, and she starts blowing mist, all the mist that was still in her mouth. She's spitting mist out on her fingers and on her hand. Her hand is turning blue, right? Usually that would be a bad sign. I would tell somebody if your hand is turning blue, you should go to the emergency room. But she's blowing this blue goo all over her hand. Bianca doesn't see this. Bianca comes over. She hoists Asuka up on her shoulders for the KOD. And Asuka takes her fingers, and she reaches down, and she digs them into Bianca's eyes. She's raking her eyes. She's rubbing her fingers, her mist-covered fingers in Bianca's eyes, which causes Bianca to release the hold. Asuka then catches a blinded Bianca with a kick to the head. That puts her down on her knees. The second kick was the kill shot. That was the knockout blow. Down goes Bianca. Asuka covers her and gets the 1-2. And Asuka is the brand new Raw Women's Champion. Asuka ends Bianca's 400-plus day. I think it was like 416 or something. 400-plus days. The longest reigning Raw Women's Champion of all time. She won that title from Becky Lynch at WrestleMania 38. We just passed WrestleMania 39. Okay, she's been champion for a long time. And Asuka has ended that run. This was not as good as their WrestleMania match. That match was better. But I did not see that finish coming. That finish was a shock to me. And not only was the finish a shock, I thought it was pretty damn clever. Spraying the mist on her fingers. I haven't seen that before. I've seen plenty of mist spots in wrestling. The mist. There's plenty of missed spots on television every single week between WWE and AEW. But I've never seen that before, where somebody will spit the mist on their hands and then use their hand to rub it in somebody's eyes when they don't expect it and blind them that way. So I thought that was a very clever way to do the finish. And it was time. It was time. The boos were already starting. I think losing that championship could be the best thing that ever happened to Bianca Belair. Because now there's one of two things happen. Either one, she will now chase as the babyface. And there is something to be said when you've been champion for that long and you don't really have a lot of great challengers for the title. Not that Asuka has a lot of great challengers either. They're still in the same boat. They have a lot of work to do on that SmackDown Women's Division. But Bianca has run through every meaningful challenger that there is to run through, including Asuka, by the way. She beat Asuka at WrestleMania already. What was left for her to do other than wrestle Charlotte Flair? And you're not going to do that match right now. I don't want to see Charlotte Flair come back and go right back into the championship picture. Charlotte is gone for a while. She's sailing the world. She's like Carmen Sandiego. Nobody knows where the fuck she is. Fine. Let her enjoy her time away. She will come back. And I still expect that we're going to get Bianca and Charlotte for the title of WrestleMania next year. But that's next year. So what do you do now? Who does Bianca challenge now? Who does she defend against now? Right? It was a real issue, and it's one of the reasons why people, I think, were starting to sour on her. And you were starting to hear these boos. They were getting more noticeable. This now hits the reset button. She can chase, or you can do a double turn. Asuka could go babyface. I'm not sure she ever went heel, to be honest with you, because the fans still like her. But let's say she's considered a heel. She goes babyface. And Bianca goes heel. And we get the Bianca Belair heel turn. I think Bianca Belair, as great of a babyface as she is, and she's great. She's fantastic. She's a great ambassador for the company, too. But I think she's got a great heel turn in her. So those are the two scenarios now that they're faced with. But here's what I'm actually kind of excited about now. Now that Asuka is the champion, I'm just waiting now. We got to get Asuka and Io. We got to get Asuka and Io for that championship on SmackDown because they're both on the same brand. We got to finish off this damage control stuff. Damage control is wounded. Damage control is near death. Okay, Dakota Kai just had ACL surgery. She's gone for a while. It's basically now just Bayley and Io. And they're already building and building and building to the inevitable split. Once damage control is taken out to the back of the barn and they put the slug in the back of its head, mercy killing, Io will be able to go out on her own as a babyface. They could do Asuka and Io. Now, cutting promos is, you know, standing in the ring and doing these long promos the way that a lot of the main event talents do is not Asuka's strong suit, and it's not Io's strong suit. So I don't know how they would fill 4 or 5 weeks of television time as far as promos to get to the match, but that's a match I want to see. So I'm just happy that now the stage is set for us to get Asuka and Io for the championship, which hopefully is a direction that they are considering. But they still need to address the red and blue thing with the belts because it is incredibly stupid to have a SmackDown star holding the Raw women's title. It doesn't make any sense. And the fact they haven't even addressed it yet is just beyond my comprehension. It's almost as if they're just content to just leave it the way it is. Stupid. Got the blue belt on the red brand and the red belt on the blue brand. We have got almost 2,000 people. We're closing in soon on 2,000 people here on the stream, so thank you if you were tuning in here for your Night of Champions coverage on this Saturday afternoon, or early evening, I guess, here on this Memorial Day weekend. I hope you guys are having a great weekend. You know who's not having a great weekend after tonight? Natty. We had Natalya one-on-one with Rhea Ripley for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Not a very happy birthday for Natty. Today is Natty's birthday. And what did she do for her birthday? They flew her all the way to Saudi Arabia for her birthday, and they buried her in the desert. It's not a very nice birthday gift. Total domination here by Ripley, right from the start. Rhea was out there with Dominic. And so I think right from the bell, basically, Dominic was on the apron distracting Natty. Rhea attacked her from behind. She threw Natty into the ring steps on one side of the ring. She threw Natty into the ring steps on the other side of the ring. Threw her back into the ring. Finished her off with the riptide to retain her title in less than 90 seconds. This did not even go a minute and a half. And that is honestly all that it needed to be. You get no complaints out of me. That is all that this needed to be. Natty's role at this stage, she's been there for so long. Natty's role should be to help get over other talent. Rhea Ripley won the championship at WrestleMania. And so Rhea Ripley should be booked as a dominant champion on that brand. How do you do that? You can put her in the ring with somebody who has equity and has a history of, you know, being a champion and has been there forever. She's kind of in the Dolph Ziggler role of the women's division, right? They use her in the way that they use Dolph, right? In a way. So this is exactly what it needed to be. And look, I'll say this. At least she got her flight comped, and she got to go sightseeing. So it's not a total loss. Then we had Brock Lesnar. This is one of the triple main events that they talked about. Was it 69 seconds? Was it 60? I think it was, actually. I think it was 69 seconds. I believe it was, yes. So we got a 69 job here on this show from Rhea Ripley. Again, she made short work of this woman. But we had Brock Lesnar one-on-one against the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. Cody came into this match with a black titanium cast on his broken arm. They said it was a titanium cast. They allowed this man, even with a cast on, to wrestle with a so-called broken arm. I don't know what that says about WWE Medical. Aren't they supposed to be the ones who step in a situation like this where the talent doesn't know what's good for their own health and say, look, we are not going to allow you to compete with a broken limb? No, evidently that's not the case. They're very lenient. Took Daniel Bryan 3 years and I don't know how many specialists he had to go to get cleared to wrestle again. But Cody Rhodes can break his arm and be cleared for a match here against Brock Lesnar, of all people. Brock hit 3 straight belly-to-belly suplexes, and Cody landed on the broken arm each time. Cody came back with a suicide dive. He nailed Brock with the cast. He was using it as a weapon. Back inside, Cody hit the Cody cutter. He got a close near fall. Cody then hit the crossroads. Didn't go for the pin. He was shaking off the bad arm because he, you know, landed on it. Instead, he hit a second crossroads. And again, he was favoring the arm. Brock was stunned, but he was not down for the count. He staggered back to his feet. Cody tried for a third crossroads. Brock, though, countered into a Kimura lock. And Kimura lock to the bad arm. So he had him locked in the Kimura for a while. Cody would not give up. Cody looked like, though, he was starting to fade. Referee went to go check on the arm. Cody, though, showed life. And when he started showing life, the crowd popped big. It came to life. Brock let go of the hold. He went for an F5. Cody slipped out. He hit that third crossroads. This time he went for the cover, and Brock kicked out from the third crossroads. Cody then hit him in the head with his titanium cast a few times. Lesnar, though, kind of shook it off, and he got him up on his shoulders for the F5, hit the F5, went for the cover, and Cody kicked out. You know, Brock Lesnar has beaten many men with that F5. Just one F5, right? That's how he beat Samoa Joe. He had great balls of fire all those years, which was a mistake. But that's how he beat Brock Lesnar or Samoa Joe. That's how he beat Braun Strowman. I mean, there's a long list of men who have fallen to a single F5. So at least Cody got to kick out of it, right? At least he got to kick out of the F5. So again, Lesnar got the Kimura lock applied. This time Cody went out. He tried, he fought, but he went out. And the referee called for the stoppage. Brock would not let go of the hold, and they started ringing the bell repeatedly, which is something I noticed right away because it's something WWE does not do anymore. And it's such a small thing. I doubt very many people even cared or noticed. But you know, for years when there was somebody wouldn't let go of a hold, or if people ran out and there was a big brawl or something, you'd hear the bell, you know, ding, 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 over and over again. And it just added to that feeling of chaos, right? WWE doesn't do that anymore. But they did it here. And it was like, oh, they're ringing the bell. That's kind of interesting. So anyway, Brock finally released the hold. Look, Cody, I'm trying to look at the positives of this. Cody lasted longer in the Kimura lock than most people do. As ridiculous as it is, and it was more than stretching the bounds of credibility here, that this man, even with a titanium cast on, has a broken arm, and he is locked in a Kimura submission and does not give up. As ridiculous as that was, he lasted in the hold longer than most people do. He kicked out of an F5. Not everybody gets to kick out of the F5, right? So those are positives. In the end, he passed out. He did not tap out. He did not get pinned. He did not get beat cleanly in the middle with an F5, right? He passed out from the pain. The same way Stone Cold lost to Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13 in the sharpshooter. He did not submit. He did not tap out. He passed out from the pain. That's what they did with Cody here. They tried to do what they could to keep him strong. Of course, the overall booking up to this point since WrestleMania, that, I think, is certainly suspect as far as keeping Cody strong. Certainly not the way that I would have done it. But in this match here, they did what they could to keep him strong. But this means that we're getting a third match between these two, either at Money in the Bank or more likely at SummerSlam at Ford Field, which means that we are not going to get Roman and Cody Part 2 at SummerSlam this year. And these reports about them possibly saving the match for WrestleMania, and again, WrestleMania is still a very long time away, but it looks like there's some merit to those reports, and WWE may be thinking, well, we'll save the match for WrestleMania 40, and we'll do the Rocky story in Philadelphia, and he'll finish the story then. Fine. But clearly, they're not doing it at SummerSlam. Look, they made their bet at WrestleMania. They made the decision they made by not taking the titles off Roman. I think it was a mistake. They made that decision. It was highly unlikely that Brock was going to lose back-to-back pay-per-view matches, let alone to the same man. I mean, how often does that happen? And it's the outcome that I expected. I am not excited to see a third match between these two. I cannot sit here and tell you that, man, I can't wait for the rubber match between Cody and Brock. Nah, not really. I'm not overly excited to see a third chapter to this. But it's what we're getting. So there you go. The main event was for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. It was Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defending their titles against Roman Reigns, 1,000 days as Universal Champion, but not defending his titles here on a show called Night of Champions, and Solo Sikoa. The crowd was molten for this. From the moment KO and Sami came out, and more so Sami Zayn, they were amped up to see Sami Zayn. They were hot for this. These people love Sami. This was their first time getting to see him in person on any of these Saudi shows that they've done in the last 5 years since they struck that 10-year pact. And the first time that Sami Zayn has wrestled a match in Saudi Arabia in almost a decade, since 2014, he had a match on that show with Damian Sandow. So it's been a while. And they were ready for him when he came out. After Paul Heyman introduced Roman and Solo, Sami took the microphone from Mike Rome, and he did the introductions for Owens and himself. He did the introductions in Arabic, which went over well with the crowd. And then the camera panned over to Roman Reigns as Sami was speaking in Arabic. And Roman just had this look on his face like, what? Like, the fuck is he saying? It's priceless. He had this confused look on his face. So Roman teased that he was going to start the match with Sami, right? Solo was in the ring and Roman's like, I got this. And Sami stepped out. We were going to start with Roman and Sami. And as soon as Sami came in, Roman tagged out. And that drew boos from the crowd. Reigns distracted Sami. That allowed Solo to hit Sami from behind. Sikoa was choking Zayn using the middle rope. When the referee backed him away, Roman on the outside was choking Sami over the middle rope. So Sami got back to his feet, and he threw a chop. This was after Reigns tagged in, right? So now that Sami is down, Reigns is like, give me the tag. He comes in. He's putting the boots to Sami. Sami throws a chop. And Roman no-sells it. He puts him down with an uppercut. And you could hear the camera picked up on Roman yelling at Sammy, and he's going, you know, who do you think you are, the Nature Boy now? So he's just having his way with this guy. Roman and Solo, they isolated Sammy for a while. Owens eventually got the hot tag. He came in, took it to Roman before getting cut down. Owens came back with a pop-up powerbomb for a near fall. He went up top, hit a frog splash to Roman for another near fall. Owens went for a stunner. Roman shoved him off. Solo hit KO from the apron, and Roman put Owens down with a Superman punch, covered him for a near fall. Owens came back with a stunner. That knocked Roman backwards into the ropes. Roman bounced off the ropes, and he took down Kevin Owens with a spear, and we got a double down with both men down on the mat. Crowd badly wanted Sammy to get this tag. And finally, he did, and so did Solo Sikoa. He knocked Solo to the floor. Sammy hit a flip dive out to the floor. Back inside, he got the blue thunderbomb. Solo kicked out at two. Sammy set up for the Huluva kick, but he ate a super kick instead. But then he turned around. He got an exploder suplex to Solo in the corner. This time, the Huluva kick connects, and Sammy has got him dead to rights. Roman at the very last second. I mean, as late as you could possibly make a save here, he makes the save. He was tempting fate as long as he waited. But he broke up the pin just in the nick of time. So Roman starts teeing off on Sammy, and the referee is warning him. He goes, look, you got your save. You get one save. You got your save. Now you got to get out of here, because Roman wasn't the legal man. Sammy got up, and he almost collided with the referee, but he stopped short. Roman then, when Sammy turns around, Roman comes in for a spear. Sammy moves out of the way, and Roman spears the referee, and down goes Dan Angler. So there's your ref bump, right? Now, of course, you're thinking, where are the Usos? Because it's only a matter of time before we see the Usos, right? So the referee is out. Sammy catches Roman with a Superman punch. And he tries to mimic Roman's spear. But when he comes in for the spear, Roman caught him with a Superman punch of his own. Owens got back in the ring. He speared Roman down, followed him out to the floor under the bottom rope. He threw Roman into the ring steps, and then Owens clears off the two announce desks. We had the English announce desk, and we had the Arabic announce desk. He cleans them both off. And now here comes Jimmy and Jey Uso. With the referee still down, the Usos hit the scene, and they attack Sammy, or they attack Kevin Owens, rather. Hit him with a pair of super kicks. That took out Owens, and they buried Owens underneath the English announce desk. So now the Usos get into the ring, and Sammy's all by himself. They're giving him super kicks. Finally, they go to deliver a double super kick. Sammy ducks, and Jimmy and Jey kick Solo by accident. They take out their brother. Roman Reigns is on the floor. He looks up, and he sees this, and he has this just incredulous look on his face, like, what the fuck are you doing here, right? So he gets into the ring, couldn't believe what he saw. He's yelling at the Usos, who were not even supposed to be here. He pie-faces Jimmy. Then he goes over to Jey, and he pie-faces Jey, not once but twice. Jimmy comes back, and Jimmy Uso super kicks Roman Reigns. And Jey Uso is looking at this, and it's kind of the same thing that happened at the Royal Rumble, when Sammy hit Roman in the back with the chair, and they focused in on Jey Uso's reaction. He was beside himself. What did you do that for? You know, I thought you were my brother. I thought you were my Uso, right? He was all bent out of shape about it. So it was the same thing here, where he's looking at his actual brother. He's looking at Jimmy, and he's going, why did you do that? You got to be better than that. And Jimmy tells him, he goes, I'm doing what you should have done a long time ago. And then he delivered a second super kick, because Roman now is down on his knees. He gives him a second super kick, and that knocks Roman out of the ring. And he's yelling at Jey. He goes, it's me and you now. Goes, I'm your brother, not him. I would never treat you like that. So the Usos bailed. Solo Sikoa is in the ring, and he staggers to his feet. He was the legal man. He took a stunner from Owens. He took a Huluva kick from Sammy. Sammy covered him. There was no referee. But here comes a brand new referee sliding into the ring, and he counted three. And Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, they retain their tag team championships here at Sweet Saudi Money 9. For those of you wondering, we're up to 9 of these now. This is Sweet Saudi Money Part 9. So Sami Zayn got his win over Roman Reigns. He didn't pin Roman. Of course, that would have been stupid, because Roman has not been pinned since 2019. And at this late stage in the game, the only time, the first time that Roman Reigns should be pinned is when he loses his titles. Roman Reigns should not eat a pinfall until the night that he drops his championships. So I'm happy that they had Solo take that, because I wasn't sure what they were going to do here. But I was happy they had Solo take the pinfall and not Roman in this case. But this was a fantastic, much-needed plot twist here in this Bloodline story. And it's a great hook now, heading into the big championship celebration, you know, 1,000 days. They're supposed to have a big party on SmackDown coming up this Friday. So this is a great hook now heading into that segment. Tonight, what we witnessed here was the implosion of the Bloodline. It felt like the beginning of the end. It is not the end. It is the beginning of the end of the Bloodline. We can finally see the light at the end of the tunnel. The end is in sight. And now the question is, what do they do as far as Money in the Bank? What do they do as far as SummerSlam is concerned? Money in the Bank, to me, if Roman is going to be on that show, supposedly he's defending his championship. I don't know that he will be, because it seems to me Roman and Solo against Jimmy and Jay would be the most sensible direction here. They could do Roman and Jimmy one-on-one. We've seen Roman and Jay. That's been done before. Roman against Jimmy has not been done. So they could easily go either way here. It is not going to be Roman Reigns against Jimmy Uso at SummerSlam. I think that would be a waste. But is that a match I could see at Money in the Bank? Yes. I could see that being the match. So to me, it's either one of those. Either you do the tag match with both Usos against Roman and Solo, and maybe the Usos are trying to talk to Solo and say, look, you're our brother. You have no reason to be loyal to this man. And now they shift the focus from what's going on with Jimmy to Jimmy and Jay trying to convince Solo that this guy doesn't have your best interest in mind. We're your brothers. You should come with us. You know, maybe that's the next chapter of the story. So we'll see. This was one of the stronger Saudi shows that they have done. It was bookended by two great matches. The opening match with Seth and AJ, the main event stuff, which is, again, just great cinema. As some of these big Bloodline angles have been, this was another one of those great segments. In the middle was nothing blow away. I really liked the Gunther match with Ali, but there was nothing in the middle that was really blow away that I think people are going to be remembering for a long time. There are certain matches on these Saudi shows that I still remember that were great, right? Rollins and Edge and their Hell in a Cell match a couple of years ago being one example. What people will be remembering on this show is either the opener and or the main event. And more likely, it'll be the main event. That's really what people will be talking about coming out of this show. But overall, I thought it was a good show. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. You guys seem to concur, because we're closing in on almost 80% thumbs up, 15% thumbs in the middle, and about 6.7, only single digits, thumbs down. So people seem to really enjoy what they saw here on the show. So if you want to vote,
look at Richie Rich over here dropping all this money on me. Hey, I just want you to know, I think you rock. I don't mean the rock, a rock, you rock. And I just wanted you to know that.
Hey, Fahad coming in hot with a $120 super chat bomb. I was wondering if we were going to have a Fahad run-in here on the stream. He says, I popped when I saw that sound-off sign next to me. Hey, you know, you and Fawaz may have been side by side. You may have been sitting next to each other. That's awesome. Hey, Fahad, thank you, man, for that 120 bomb. That's very cool. Do you know each other? I mean, maybe you know each other. Did you see the sign and go over and talk to? I'd be curious now to find out if any of the people that I know listen to the show actually connected with each other while they were there. Hey, you know, I also got to shout out Silver Tower, who gifted 10 channel memberships, and Brian. Brian, I think, gifted 5 earlier. So, Brian, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Very cool of you. Thank you, sir. Man, a lot of sound-off representation, man, all over the world. We got sound-off fans from the Middle East to the UK to Canada to Australia, the US. Got an email last week from somebody down in Mexico. We have representation all over the world. Places that I did not even know had much of a wrestling fan base. And I will hear from, and maybe they're some of the only wrestling fans there, but I will hear from people and they will tell me that they've been listening to the podcast for years. It just blows my mind. Blows my mind. I should tell you, last week, the Sound Off was the number two wrestling podcast in all of Saudi Arabia. I don't know what the number one podcast was. I was trying to check and see. I just saw my ranking, but I know at least for last week, if not longer, the Sound Off was number two in all of Saudi Arabia. So again, we got a nice little fan base there. Let's start out here with Brumakian Productions. Thank you for the $2. DEH Sires coming in saying, you notice the WWE got rid of Velcro on their titles. I don't think they did. I don't believe they did. Pretty sure the Velcro is still there, but I did notice the snaps on the new belt. So that I did notice. He also says, I smell double turn with Asuka and Bianca soon. Yeah, very possible. It's what I talked about before. You know, they have a few different ways they could go with Bianca. That's one of them. Andy VR Omni with the $4.99. It would be fitting if the Bloodline implodes on Roman's 1,000 days as champion celebration on SmackDown, which is also the anniversary of the Shield imploding. Man, don't remind me. That's a dark day. Dark day in my fandom. When they ended the Shield, they still had some mileage left in them. Phil Anderson with the $4.99. How much did Rhea and Natty get their 53 seconds? I don't know. Look, Rhea seemed to be enjoying herself. Some of those vlogs that WWE was posting on their YouTube channel. I said Natty, at least she got her airfare comped and she got to see the sights. So she got something out of it. Thomas Colella with the $10. I love that ending. I'm so happy that Jimmy said to Jay, I'm doing what you should have done a long time ago. And I'm your brother. I would never do that to you. Still shocked about Asuka winning the title. J. Cole, Cody and Brock in an I Quit match at Money in the Bank. It'll have some kind of stipulation. It could be last man standing. I guess they already did that, though, with Brock and Roman at SummerSlam last year. It would be kind of weird if they did another last man standing match and Brock lost again. I quit is tough. I can't imagine Brock quits. I mean, that would certainly be one way for Brock to put Cody over if he actually said the words, I quit. I don't see that happening. Yusuf with a $4.99. Fawaz was the MVP of the show. Also, Sammy entering wearing a Dishdasa was fire. Is that what it's called? I wasn't sure what it was called.
Jerry Lawler loves Goonthar the Magnificent. All hail Goonthar.
All hail the Mighty One himself. Lady Fire Panda, thank you very much. Fire Panda, I didn't see Fire Panda last night on the stream, so I'm glad you're with us today. Hey, Fire Panda, thank you very much. I'm going to get to your super chat here in a second. Dallas Caballero with the $5 super chat says, I went to Dynamite. I'm going to Double or Nothing tomorrow, but I will admit it is not as exciting as it was last year. WWE is much more interesting at the moment. I think that's fair. Mr. Andrew, of course, the Super IC belt opens the Super IC belt opens the show. WWE always opens their pay-per-views with a mid-card secondary title match after all. Christopher with the $9.99. Sweet Saudi snooze fest until the Sammy entrance. It got real loud in that building when Sammy came out, that's for sure. You know who else was over at the press conference? I don't even know that he was at the press conference, but they were drowning out Triple H on Friday. Yesterday with LA Knight chants. And they showed LA Knight in the crowd on this show. They showed LA Knight. They showed Karrion Kross and Scarlett. No match for LA Knight on this show. But even in Saudi Arabia, he was over big time. Trek wants to know, how do you get the GWO emojis? If you are a channel member, as you are, because I see you've got the green name, if you click the emoji icon there, it should be among the ones that you can select. They should all be there. Henry, actually, Hoffenheim. I don't want to miss Hoffenheim. Hoffenheim says, Roman wanted Jimmy to do something, and he did. That's true. That's true. On SmackDown last night, right? They got face-to-face, and Roman said, you know, he wanted him to do something. So, Jimmy gave him what he wanted. Henry Webster with the $9.99. Henry says, first time, long time since TV Tracks. Don't normally make the live streams because I'm usually in bed for work by 9. Figured I would show some love on this holiday weekend. Thanks for all that you do. Henry, it's good to hear from you. I'm glad you can join us here. Yeah, there aren't too many midday streams or early evening streams. So it's nice when people can join. You know, some of these international shows, not just the Saudi ones, even some of the UK ones. If I end up streaming earlier, it's almost like, not that I get a whole new audience, but there are definitely people who tune in who normally can't. So it's good to hear from you. 8-Bit Panda Strike says, great show. Cheers to good storytelling. Zachariah with the $49.99. I would say that if they wanted to convince the masses that the World Heavyweight Championship Light wasn't a secondary title, it would have main evented the show. Then again, when it comes to the Bloodline story, as the kids would say, let him cook. Yeah, I mean, looking at what they did with the Bloodline stuff at the end of the show, you had to end with that. I can't fault them for ending with the angle that they ended with. At the same time, though, both things can be true. That they should have ended with the Bloodline, but it also sucks for the new belt that they didn't headline with it. Both of those things can be true at the same time. Jacob Anderson with the $5 super chat. When WWE's deal expires, is there any chance that Saudi pays AEW for shows? Also, Sammy is the guy to take the belts off Roman. Kick rocks if you disagree. I think the WWE and Saudi, the Saudi officials are probably going to extend their deal, if anything else. I don't know that there's an exclusivity clause, though. I don't know. I haven't seen the contract. I would be curious to know. Would Tony Khan do business with them? Would they be allowed to? Or is this an exclusive thing with WWE only? I don't know. Don't know. Chris Perry, which toxic star would you want as your locker room leader? Hulk Hogan, CM Punk, or Tessa Blanchard? I would not want any of them as my locker room leader. I don't want any of them as my locker room leader because I don't have a death wish. I have enough stress as it is. That sounds like a fucking disaster. So I will go with none of the above. Hoffenheim, Salamasa, you're the man. Found you thanks to TV Tracks back in the day. Something like 8 to 10 years ago. Yeah, that sounds about right. I think, God, when did Trax disappear? Trax retired probably, what, 2014, 2015, somewhere around there? A long time ago. Winston Smith, have you seen Bret Hart on The Simpsons? Yes, I have. Absolutely. I saw that Bret Hart also got his star on the Canadian Walk of Fame is what it is. Well deserved. I believe he may be the first wrestler to get a star on the Canadian Walk of Fame. And I know in the comments that he made, he said that it should not start and end with him being the only wrestler to be there. And I think he even mentioned Trish Stratus and, you know, he was mentioning other people. I think he mentioned Edge, who also should eventually get a star. So see, Brett thinking of someone other than just himself. Lloyd Berry with the $61 super chat. Thank you for the great work you do. I am going to Money in the Bank and all in. Do you think that we will be getting Jimmy against Roman at Money in the Bank? And who do you think is going to win the men's Money in the Bank considering Cody is busy with Brock? Overall, good show, I thought. Keep up the great work. I think Money in the Bank is either Roman and Jimmy, or it's going to be a tag match. It's got to be one of those two. Doesn't make sense for it to be anything else. The story that Roman is firmly entrenched in right now is with his family. So Roman and AJ Styles, Roman and Bobby Lashley. There's no indication that they're even teasing it. As far as who wins Money in the Bank, since it looks like Cody is not, LA Knight. I said that last night. If Cody is not winning as part of that whole storyline to get him to Roman, then LA Knight should win Money in the Bank. And I hope Triple H is paying very close attention to these reactions, these crowd reactions, no matter where they go. They're getting louder and louder and louder by the week. LA Knight should win Money in the Bank. LA Knight is going to have a Money in the Bank qualifier on Friday against Montez Ford. While I would love to see Montez Ford in Money in the Bank, I don't want to see him in Money in the Bank more than I want to see LA Knight win Money in the Bank. Silver Tower, thank you for the $30, man. I appreciate that. Daniel Guerrero, do you think they'll eventually unify the tag team titles and the Universal and WWE titles? If so, do you think we are due for new belt designs? They're already unified. You mean unifying them into one single title? I don't think so. I don't think they will. But we are overdue for new belt designs. That we are. Lloyd, with the almost $25 super chat. Back again, just a small gesture as a thank you again. Hey, Lloyd, I appreciate that, man. Very, very kind of you. Especially after that first one. Bones Jones. Moreover tonight, Zayn or Solomonster's side? Oh, Solomonster's side. Come on, man. I didn't see Sami Zayn in every other match on the show. I saw that Solomonster sign, though, every friggin' match. The sign, easily. Hector with the $20 super chat. Hey, Solomonster, been a fan of yours for a long time. Keep up the great work because you got a fan for life. My favorite tag team is Power and Glory. See, I said before, they're very underrated. But I like the way you think. I love their finish. I love their... The Powerplex finish was fucking... I think it's cool that FTR brought it back. I hate that it's not used as a finish. But they did not have the kind of run that I think they should have had. Anderson Blitz. The positive thing about the Bloodline story for me is seeing people I know who are non-wrestling fans being invested in wrestling for the first time. Yeah, that is cool. They had reaction videos on YouTube after the Royal Rumble of people watching the end, the closing angle of that show. And it was fascinating to watch people's reaction. And supposedly some of these people were not even big wrestling fans. So it was fascinating to me to watch their reactions and how they responded to it. Because they seem to be into the whole thing. And whether or not that converts them into being wrestling fans, who knows? Hey, just too far in the chat, just dropped his very first super chat and also says, appreciate everything you do, Solomonster forever. Thank you very much. Good to see you with us today. We've got Slim Yoshi. Enjoyed the show a lot. Would love to wish Seth Rollins an early happy birthday. Winning the world title is a pretty great early birthday gift. Man, you're wishing Seth an early happy birthday when it's Natty's actual birthday, and you're totally no-selling that. Poor Natty. Not only did she lose and get squashed, but she's getting squashed and disrespected here by Slim Yoshi. It's terrible. Slim Yoshi, thank you. James Gruesome. I love that name. All hail the ones. Jake Seelig with the $5. Asuka should have won at WrestleMania, but I am happy they pulled the trigger now. Hope we get Asuka and Io at SummerSlam. That would track around the time that I think they would probably be doing the match, because it's going to take a little while longer, it looks like, to split her and Bayley. I could see them doing Bayley. As a matter of fact, that could play out perfectly because they could do Bayley and Io at Money in the Bank. Let's say that they're not in the Money in the Bank match, the women's match. And they may well be. If they're not, though, and they do Bayley and Io, It could be that the winner of that match gets Asuka for the championship at SummerSlam. See, I'm not convinced, though, that Bianca is just going to drop out of the women's title picture. She has to still be involved in some way. Whether she's a heel or a babyface, I mean, after having a run like that, how is Bianca going to lose and then just not be involved? And what's she going to do? She going to feud with Shotzi? I mean, what is she going to do? Of course, she's still going to be involved in the title picture. Hey, Kevin Bird, what's going on? Down bad. At the risk of sounding like a broken record, the angle they did with the Bloodline on this show would have had the exact same impact if Roman lost the titles at WrestleMania. I agree. I'm not going to say anything more than that because apparently people get irked when I do. Silver Tower. So happy that Asuka won. Been a big fan since her NXT days. My favorite women's wrestler from WWE. She is quite great. Ashway with the 30. Hope all is well. International crowds are fun. What do you think, or who do you think, will make the next move from AEW to WWE? I think Wardlow or Ricky Starks are going to make the move once their contracts are expired. Appreciate your work. We know that Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks are currently in contract negotiations. So maybe Kenny Omega makes his way. I think it's unlikely. Maybe Kenny Omega goes to WWE. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how long Wardlow has on his deal. Wardlow made the comment last year that he's AEW for life. If I'm looking at the way that I've been booked, and I'm Wardlow, I'm probably having second guesses about that statement. Who it's going to be, I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know when certain contracts are coming due. Ricky Starks, I could see him jumping and having success in WWE. For sure. Andrade is another one. You know, how long does Andrade have left on his deal? He's always posting these cryptic messages. His wife works for WWE. I could totally see Andrade wanting to go back and work under Triple H. Terrence Toussaint with the 999. Maybe moving to the metropolitan area again since my teens work in a lab in Brooklyn. What are some things to do to meet new people outside of roaming Manhattan? Keep up the ground. You're asking the wrong person. I haven't been roaming anywhere recently. I've been so just entrenched in all my work. But honestly, you know, when I would go out to certain places, I usually ended up in the city. So I can't tell you any really good places in Brooklyn. I can't really recommend any specific places in Brooklyn because I'm not usually hanging out in Brooklyn. So I'll have to give that some thought. Maybe I'll pull some people I know and I'll get back to you on that. But off the top of my head, I can't really offer you anything good. Thomas, so WWE Ric Flair Natalya today with the burial in the desert. Yes. Turtlehead says, solo monster. That's right. That's why they call me solo monster. Now you know why. Now you know why. Oh, man. I'm not going anywhere this weekend anyway. I'm sick. Spencer Dunnings says, Sal O the monster. Just sending support and wishing one of my best friends, Deontay Swanier, a very happy birthday today. The biggest Sky Blue fan. Hey, Deontay, happy birthday. How old is Deontay? You didn't tell me. The Mount Vernon kid, Christopher Bennett, says, thank you for this. I wasn't able to watch the Night of Champions due to work. I got to say, surprised Asuka won, but I'm happy for her. I love her. Bianca has all she needs to be a great heel. Much respect and love, sir. Stay cool. Bianca's going to be a great heel. Fahad with the $120 super chat says again, he says, I popped when I saw that sound off sign next to me. And you gotta tell me if you and Fawaz ended up linking up at some point or taking a picture or something. I need to know these things. There's Deontay. Deontay's in the chat. He's 29 years old. Oh, to be 29 again. I did some stupid things when I was 29. That we will not get into. The real CS02 with the $4.99. Hey, Solo, do you know why WWE got rid of the belt snaps and replaced them with Velcro? I assume that somebody either complained or it's just, you know, easier to have people on television just use Velcro to get the belts on instead of fumbling around and trying to snap them on. But they've had snaps for years, so I'm not sure why now. I'm not sure why they decided to use Velcro. And people say, what's the big deal with Velcro? I mean, look, I don't have an agenda against Velcro. I used to wear Velcro sneakers when I was a little kid. Velcro is fine, but again, these championships, I don't know, it's like, they just don't, they look like toys, I guess. They look like toys. And the championships that we see on television should not look like a toy. And the Velcro makes it look like a toy. Now, if they had snaps and Velcro on there, I guess, I mean, it might defeat the purpose to have both. See, that I don't mind so much. The Velcro just makes it look cheap. Lady Fire Panda with the $51 super chat. Says, well, hello again, Solomon. For although my heart belongs to Roman Reigns, I will always acknowledge Solomon. So that's right. I want all the fingers up in the chat. I want all the finger emojis up in the chat right now for yours truly. MH Nova, peace, and GWO. Remember that nobody bitch shirt from Jimmy Uso that you can get from... What? Kings, is that Kings Plaza? Is that what KP is? Kings Plaza? Fulton Mall, 125th or Fordham. Also, maybe Bloodline 4-Way. Bloodline 4-Way also, I could see happening at some point. I don't know about Money in the Bank. I just wasn't sure what KP... I mean, if you're local, then I think KP would mean Kings Plaza. I assume that's what you mean. That's what kind of... It kind of stopped me in my tracks there. I wasn't sure what you meant. Boomerang with the five. Nobody's bitch. Jimmy Uso is back. Seriously, how does Sammy and Jimmy have bigger nuts than Jay in this story? Because Jay has been brainwashed. He's been brainwashed. The comedic genius. We got to call Jimmy Himmy now. Crazy ending. No, we don't. We really don't. It was a crazy ending, though. Josiah Ball, thank you for the $2. First timer, what was your first shocking moment watching wrestling? Mine was when Jericho beat Shawn Michaels with a chair and threw him out of the Rumble, an underrated moment. Mine was when Randy Savage came off the top rope and crushed poor Ricky Steamboat's throat with the ring bell, heading into what would be their match at WrestleMania 3. And I remember them taking Steamboat away on a gurney. And, you know, the aisle was a lot narrower than it is now, where the fans felt like they could reach out and touch the wrestlers. And I remember them carrying out Steamboat, and the fans were, like, trying to touch him and everything. And Steamboat's just like, I thought he was really, you know, he was going to die because it looked like he couldn't breathe. Because I was a dumb little mark who didn't know any better. So that would have been, that probably would have been the first, I would say, shocking angle. Angel Silva, CM Punk better follow his own words and shut the fuck up. Punk is only a blue belt in BJJ, while Alvarez is second degree black belt. I got money on Bryan. Is that the main event that they're going to book for the first collision? It's not going to be Punk and Samoa Joe. It's going to be CM Punk against Bryan Alvarez. I'll tune in for that. Donovan D, which is your preference? Saturday pay-per-views or Sunday pay-per-views? Sunday pay-per-views. I think years ago I would have voted for Saturday, but just doing the podcast on Sunday, it's tough. When you have a late Saturday show, I mean, you may like it, but for me, not so much. So I actually prefer the Sunday shows over the Saturday shows. Who is that who just dropped 20 channel memberships on me? Who was that? Let me guess. Of course it was. It was Silver Tower. Silver Tower just dumped 20 channel memberships on a bunch of people in the chat. And Dev to Dust, actually, just became a Sound Up legend. That's our higher level tier. So that's very much appreciated. Man, Silver Tower, man. I said, we're going to have to rename you to, like, Platinum Tower. I don't think Silver Tower is cutting it. We got just too far with the $4.99 again. Just talk to him in the live chat. Thank you very much. M. Mills with the $10 super chat. Thank you very much. Hey, Verbal Souls. Yeah, man, we were talking about it earlier. That sign. You can't get better sign placement than that. Boaz really came through here. Naughty Delicious Chicken with flavor. The WrestleMania 39 Bloodline Goodfellas skit Easter egg ending is coming to... Boy, that's a mouthful. Is coming to light with Solo at the end there. It could be. I said when Roman loses Solo in this whole process, that's the beginning of the end for Roman Reigns. Retro KOH, I'm late to the stream starting at the beginning, so I won't hear this read live. Hope you are doing well, Solomonster. I am doing great. I'm not as bad as I thought I would be today. I thought that I was going to feel worse when I woke up this morning. I'm not too bad right now. I'm still sick, but I'm not too bad. Bobby's World, 2110. What is up, Solo? Kind of had the show on in the background while I played PS5. I paid attention, though, for Gunther and Ali. Damn good match. I'm glad Ali got time to shine for a change. It will not last. No, it will not. No, it will not. But for one night anyway, or one day... I guess it was night there, day here. He got a chance to shine more than Natty did, I'll say that much. William with $5. Thank you for rekindling my enjoyment of wrestling. I appreciate you, Booker Man, and hope you are doing better today than yesterday. I am. So thank you very much. Thank you, William. King of Doug Style. Greetings, Commissioner Solomonster. It is nice to see long-term storytelling again. It has been long overdue. Thank you for all of the great work. Thank you, King of Doug Style. Naughty Delicious Chicken with flavor. Despite the loss, I say happy birthday to the wonderful Natalia, my sweet Canadian. There we go. Finally, somebody's showing some Natalia love. Dev to Dust, are you a fan of Sean's theme sung by Sherry? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the OG Shawn Michaels sexy boy thing. I love both versions of it. I don't like the version that they released on Full Metal, the album. That's not the same version that they played in the arena for Shawn. But I love both versions, her version and then the one that he sings. I love them both. We have got Naughty Delicious Chicken with flavor. Finn Balor should also recruit Cora Jade. I don't think that's necessary. I don't think that's necessary at all. I think that JD McDonagh is probably a shoe-in to join the Judgment Day, and I'm okay with that. I think that's cool. I think that's fine. Cora Jade, though, not a good fit. I don't think that would be a move that I could support. Table 754 with the $20. This is Luis Alejandro using my podcast account for this super chat. Night of Champions, more like Morning of Champions, for all the sorry saps here in the West Coast that had to work today. Happy 30th birthday, Cindy. You have a podcast called Table 754? Might I ask why it is called Table 754? Just curious. Cameron Spencer, would you fist fight Walter for $10,000? No. Lady Fire Panda with the $20. My theory, Jimmy was only in the bloodline to be with Jay and never had full loyalty towards Roman. Also, Roman is going to be to beat the fuck out of Jay to punish Jimmy, calling it now. Yeah, well, I mean, Roman is going to do whatever he has to do to hurt Jimmy. So going after Jay would accomplish that. That would also then, if there's any trepidation left on Jay's part, in fully committing to being with his brother, Roman putting a beatdown on him should be it. You know, that might be what finally convinces Jay to kind of break free of this spell that Roman has on him. Funky Weapon. I saw some Steiner Brothers matches. How did they not kill someone with that Doomsday DDT from the top? How did they not kill people just with every fucking move that they did? I mean, you ever see the Steiner screwdriver? If not, look that up. How did they not kill somebody with that? It's a good question. Terrence, thank you to whoever gifted me with a membership. GWO for life. That's probably Silver Tower. Although, to be fair, we've had a bunch of people gifting memberships today, so shout out to all of them. Whether it was Silver Tower, whether it was Brian, all the people who have gifted memberships, you guys are awesome. Just be aware, though, those gifted memberships do have a shelf life on them. Hopefully you enjoy your stay as a channel member and you will recommit yourself at the end of those 30 days, otherwise it expires, so just be aware of it. And I especially appreciate all the people who went and paid for a membership on their own. Very much. And Dev to Dust. With the $20 super chat, I have seen things that you people wouldn't believe. Tack ships off of the shoulder of the Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. All these moments will be lost in time like tears in the rain. Totally lost. That's very poetic, though. You have a way with words, my friend. Thank you, Dev to Dust. Very, very poetic. Hey, Fire Panda, thank you. She just gifted a channel membership to Naughty Delicious. Look at this. How are you not already a channel member? How is Naughty Delicious not already a channel member? Well, now you are. So, there you go. Man, that was a lot. That was a lot to get through, man. That was awesome. That was very, very cool. To hear from all of you, I set the goal kind of modestly for Be the Booker here for this stream. I was like, yeah, we'll do 450. And I see here that we are about to hit 650. So clearly we are going to be the booker because you guys smashed the goal. So I know we beat it by 200. How about that? 200 thumbs. All right, let's do it. Let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time.
There he is,
to
1,000 days.
The booker.
1,000 days, stat padding with Roman Reigns. Hey, Austin Moe became a Sound Off legend. What's going on, Austin? How many times do we be the booker here at 6 o'clock in the evening? Not very often. So let's get things started here on the right foot. We didn't have a very good night with this last night. Hopefully we'll do better now. Let me see those B2B. Let me see those be the booker emojis if you are a channel member. Let me see him. Bust them out. Scott Woodford says, hi. Hi, Scott. I hope you're well. We begin with Kenny Omega, the former AEW World Heavyweight Champion and IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. Kenny Omega, who is going to be part of Anarchy in the Arena, Double or Nothing tomorrow night. Kenny Omega going to go one-on-one with Jerry the King Lawler. I'm going by the Lawler that's in the photo. So, to be fair, if we had Jerry Lawler back in his heyday, Lawler and Omega would be, that would be a bell-worthy match. I'm just looking at this as the older, advanced age Jerry Lawler. I can't give that the bell. Classic Jerry Lawler, though, who I think might be in here. I think I might have the younger Jerry Lawler in here somewhere. But yeah, that's not getting the bell. Let's go to the ladies' side here. We are going to kick things off with, look at that, our brand new Raw Women's Champion, the Murder Clown herself. This was Asuka from her Kana days. This is yeah, look, with the face paint, this is the Asuka that we have now. It is Asuka. Oh, look, it's the Shayna Blazer Super Chat. You know where that comes from? when Eric Bischoff came out during the draft episode of Raw and he announced Shayna Baszler was going to Monday Night Raw. Good job, Eric. So we have Asuka. One-on-one, the Murder Clown is going to be stepping into the ring with poor Stacy Keibler. Oh, poor Stacy Keibler. This is going to go about as good for her as it did for Ali tonight. In there with Gunther. That is going to be nothing but just the complete destruction. And it's not going to last very long. I feel bad for Stacy. Fatality, yes, Mark Kwan is correct. If this were Mortal Kombat, that would be fatality and a flawless victory for Asuka. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. Because it is a pay-per-view stream, so we should probably up the ante a little bit here. We're going to do a tag team match, and then we haven't done the stipulations in a while. I dust off the stipulations every now and then. We'll pick a stip, too. Actually, you know what? Let's pick a stip now. Before I even do the match, we're going to pick the stip first. How about that? We are going to pick a stipulation for this next match. We got tons of choices here. We've only done stips a few times. This is still relatively new. And so this next tag team match that I choose is going to be a last man standing tag team. Has there ever been a last man standing tag team match? A last man standing tag team match. So I guess both partners would have to... How would that even work? Well, whatever. I don't know. It's going to be a last man standing match, though. No, that's not... We're not starting with them. We're not starting with the Toxic Turtles. Here we go. This is going to be a tag team last man standing match. We begin with the Faces of Fear from WCW. Meng and the Barbarian. Be the Faces of Fear taking on Deuce and Domino in a last man standing match. Oh, brother. That's a clean sweep of losses. We went 0 for 3. You believe this shit? We've been killing it on this stream, and we just went 0 for 3 in Be the Booker. I can't believe that. Well, look, there's always Double or Nothing tomorrow night, right? We could always try again then. I gotta break in here because Fawaz just chimed in with a super chat. He just got in from the show, and he just chimed in with a $10 super chat. Fawaz says, "My God, I hope that I made you proud. Honestly, man, this is my favorite sign. Made it personally. It means so much to me. I am happy that you love it. And this has been the best show that I have attended. Hashtag solo for life." Fawaz, yeah, I don't know how much of the stream that you've heard. I am very honored and very proud of that sign. People have been talking about it the whole stream because it was pretty much in camera view for every single match. You could not have nailed that any better than you did. And the sign itself was fantastic. All right, you get the logo there, the For Life underneath that was very visible. Very, very, very cool stuff, man. I appreciate that a lot. I actually heard from Fahad, too. He dropped a super chat, said that apparently he was sitting next to you or near you. I don't know if the two of you connected at all, but Fawaz, thank you. And he says, "I will always support you, man. I love hashtag For Life." That's right back at you, man. Seriously, that was very, very cool. As soon as you started teasing it the other day, I was wondering. I said, "Oh, I wonder what he's got in store for this show." And 5 minutes into the show, I get a text message from a friend of mine saying, "Hey, I just saw the sign." I go, "Yeah, I just saw it too." So, Fawaz, thank you very much. Let's see. We had a whole bunch of messages that came in here. We got Boots dropping $5 here, and I just banged the table. Boots. "I usually enjoy a few beers during the pay-per-views, but drinking at 10 a.m., that don't work for me." That don't work for me, brother. I'll save them for Double or Nothing. Hey, don't knock until you try it, you know? Lady Fire Panda just dropped a $20 super chat. "Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes another episode of Be the Booker. Or as I like to call it, will Sala Monster book our territory straight into the ground? The answer is yes, unfortunately. The answer is yes. I think I'm going to stick to my commissioner duties in House of Glory. Oh, by the way, I should mention this. We have, of course, the next House of Glory show is coming up on Friday, June 16th, and we have Vikingo coming in, making his HOG debut. But the announcement was made last night that we also are bringing in another first-time special guest in action on that show. Against who? We can't say yet, but Carlito, hot off of his appearance at Backlash in San Juan during the street fight with Damian Priest and Bad Bunny. We got Carlito coming in to House of Glory, June 16th. Told you, man, the commissioner has been busy. Commissioner here has been making moves, and there could be other announcements yet to come, so stay tuned for that. But we got Carlito, and that is, of course, very cool. We got Carlito coming in. That's cool. All right, so listen, I have episode 810. Can you believe I've done 810 of these things? But I have. Episode 810 of the podcast is going up tomorrow. And hopefully it shouldn't be going up too late, probably by mid-afternoon at the latest. On pay-per-view days, I don't want to push it out too late. But episode 810 of the Sound Off will be posted on all the usual podcast platforms. That is going to be tomorrow. And tomorrow night is AEW Double or Nothing. And as soon as Double or Nothing is off the air, I'm sure it'll be a late night. I will be live on YouTube for the review. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm sure I'll be tweeting up a storm during the pay-per-view as well. And yes, Matt Cardona is our new world champion in House of Glory. He beat Jacob Fatu. He said that he is going to take the title now out of the dumpster fire that is New York and take it back with him to Orlando, which is where the championship currently sits. But I would expect him to be, he hasn't been announced yet, I would expect him to be on that show, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, I will see you tomorrow. Until then, be well, stay safe. Thank you for all the super chats. Thank you for all the memberships. Fawaz, the sign, again, you're the man. You are the man of the hour today for sure. And I will see you for 8:10 and for the Double or Nothing stream tomorrow night, right back here live on YouTube. Until then, take care, guys.